The following is a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio. From hot dogs to cool kitties, this is Dark Side of the Pooch.
Welcome back to another Dark Side of the Pooch. The man on the left side of the screen here on our YouTube channel is Dr. Rab Stewart Rossbridge Animal Hospital. He owns the joint and does fantastic work there. And you can call them 208-0301, 208-0301, rossbridgevet.com. Available all over on social media. Of course, you can hear this show here in the TKR app at least 5 days a week. Not to mention wherever you get your favorite podcasts. We're available on iTunes, iHeart, Audio Boom, you name it, and of course right here on our YouTube channel, which we're doing very, very well too. I think people like to see your face. I mean, there's no doubt. I mean, I get the podcast thing, and some people don't want to watch things, you know, they're driving. So but most of our shows here are they're fun when they're visual, so you can actually see because we're laughing, we're jocking it up a little bit, we're having a good time. So I think people want to see your beautiful face, and I think it's always fun to put, you know, a face with the voice. A lot of people are like, no, someone emailed me last week, no way, I didn't know Dr. Rab looked like that. Like they've been listening to you for years or something. I'm like, dude, all you gotta do is go by his office and see. He's like, they were like so surprised you looked the way you did. I'm like, what do you think he looked like?
That's so funny. I would love to know what the answer to that is, because sometimes you know, the voice doesn't fit the face. Yeah. You know, I think that, your face voice goes very well together. You have a great match there. Yeah. Like it.
Okay.
All right. I think that's a compliment. You know.
Everyone thought I was short, fat, and a beard. Everyone. The first time when I first got into the market, everyone's like, I thought you're going to be short, fat, and a beard, and smoking cigarettes. Which I think is every, you know, radio personality, you know, back in the 80s and 90s, I think that's what every radio personality looked like. I think they were pleasantly surprised, not to say that obviously I'm doing some television, so I've got something going on here. I haven't broken any hammers yet. But I do think that there's this stigmatism that goes along with, you know, face for radio, that all radio people are really ugly as shit. I mean, they're good looking radio people are on television and ugly television people are on radio. I think that's where the stigmatism comes, because very rarely do you find attractive females. Let's be honest. You just don't find a lot of attractive females on radio. If you're attractive, you're probably on television.
I get that. You know, and I don't know where I fall on that spectrum. You know, I would say that, for some reason, my beautiful wife decided to hitch her wagon, you know, to mine. So no. I don't know if the, I don't know if I'm pretty on the inside or the outside.
Well, and I'm going to be straight honest with you. I think, you know, obviously, you know, you're going to know Kevin Costner. Neither am I. You're a good looking guy. But I think you would attract a certain type of woman because of where you hang out, who you hang out with. And I know you're a Christian guy, and Christian guys get good looking hot babes, because Christian women, it doesn't matter. Christian women don't care what they look like. They just want to be with a good Christian dude. A guy that reads the Bible every once in a while, has a good heart, is compassionate. And you obviously are very, very good at that. And you do that with your business. And so you're going to get good looking woman, whether you want one or not.
That's right.
Yeah.
And it's just, you know, it's this, this is the hand that I was dealt. So, you know, you do the best you can with the hand.
Pretty good hand. I got news for you. It's a pretty good hand. This show, Dark Side of the Pooch, is brought to you by, speaking of good hands, Ed's Pet World down there. 50 years in the business down there in beautiful Homewood. Seth and his group do all kinds of exotic pets. We're talking chinchillas, and they got sugar gliders and squirrels. I mean, all kinds of exotic pets. Fish, you name it, they got it down there. I love Ed's Pet World. It's been an institution here in this city. And, of course, they also have a brand new shop now called Sasquatch Toys and Comics. It's also down there in Homewood on Citation Court. They just opened it back in October, and they are killing it. They got comics of the 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, unopened, all kinds of unopened toys, Battlestar Galactica, Star Wars, you name it. They got Legos. They got all that stuff. So check it out. Two different places you can check out with Seth and his entire group. Great stuff. So I wanted to ask you this, and we will talk about money a lot on this show, but let's be honest. It's expensive to own a pet. And we mentioned, I think, what we say, $32,000-$33,000 over the course of the lifetime of a pet. You can break it down to roughly $2,000 to $3,000 a year. When you're talking about, you're like $2,000 to $3,000 a year. Yeah, if you're talking about shots, you're talking about, you know, starting with Parvo, and you're talking about food, and you're talking about toys. I'm not even talking about the gasoline you're spending, maybe driving your dog to a park. I'm not even talking about those kind of expenses, but it's expensive. I mean, you have to take your pets. And obviously with inflation, and everything that's going on in this country, we've seen it with our groceries. You've seen it, everything. Everything's gone up in price. Now it's coming back down a little bit. How does inflation affected your business? Do you see a lot of people that normally would come in two times a year just say, listen, I'm just going to hold off. I'm one of those guys. I had to come in. I knew I had a nut. I had to pay like $300-$400 last time I went in. It was something I had to do, but I just didn't have the cash on me. And so I had to wait a little bit. And that's standard for a lot of pet owners. But how has it affected your business? And then I want to ask you a question.
I mean, overall, the industry is somewhat recession proof. So, but you know, that comes with a caveat. We will see a slowdown in business when, you know, people are continually hit hard with inflation, like we have been for the last year. So, you know, we don't completely dry up, but we do slow down. So I would think that some of the things that people would incorrectly see as things that can wait, and sometimes they can, you know, you roll the dice like, hey, I need to have my dog's teeth cleaned, but I can't do it right now. So we're going to wait 6 months. Well, in those 6 months, a dental cleaning that was going to cost you $250, $300, you know, now there's a tooth root abscess and we got to pull that tooth out and it's going to end up being $450 because doing surgical extractions takes a long time and it's expensive and there's a lot of stuff that goes into it. So, right or wrong, things kind of get pushed off until, you know, either somebody finds another revenue source or a different revenue source or inflation slows down. So, we see a slowdown, but we don't screech to a halt.
Yeah. I think you can make an analogy. A lot of people do it with their vehicles. You know, we're supposed to get our oil changed. We're supposed to get our oil changed every 3,000 miles. And I don't know too many people that actually do that, because we know we can get 4,000 or 5,000 miles, but the longer you go, the more it affects, you don't feel it. You don't see it right away, but the more it affects your engine down the road. And the next thing you know, boy, I wish I had had my oil changed every 3,000 miles, you know, 100,000 miles ago, because you're going to get more longevity on your vehicle. And that also goes for, you know, I had squeaky brakes. I had some rotors. All four of my rotors were out of whack. So man, when I was like getting off the interstate, it was like my car was coming back into the atmosphere. It was like shaking. I mean, to the point where if I didn't have my hands on the wheel, I was going off the road. I mean, it was shaking bad. My kids were like, "Dad, get the brakes fixed." I'm like, "It's expensive. It's $1,000. Rotors are $250 a piece." I'm like, "When Daddy gets paid, you know, I got my brakes fixed and we're good to go." But it's just one of those things where I had to put it off for a little while, and everyone lived through it. We were good. But you know, it's interesting too, because I think I know when I went through a phase where I didn't have health insurance. You know, I had health insurance my entire life. I was paying into it. And then I went and got, for you people that are self-employed, you know what I'm talking about. You don't realize how expensive health insurance is. You're a business owner. You know exactly what I'm talking about. You're like, this is going to be great. I'm going to have my own business. I'm going to be able to work when I want to, blah, blah, blah. I have to pay for what? You know, and the next thing you know, you're like, FICA, what the hell's FICA? Then you got taxes, you got all these things. And you're like, yeah, you want to run your own business. You have to pay these things, including your own health insurance and sometimes for your employees as well. And I think it's really interesting, because we're seeing a lot of people now, because of inflation and because of pets, because a lot of people got pets during COVID because they were going to be home and they thought it'd be a great idea to have somebody there visit with them. Sometimes it worked out, sometimes it didn't. And now all of a sudden they got this other expenditure that they're not used to having, and it affects them a little bit. But let me ask you this: what would you, as a basic owner, what are the things that you can put off, and what are the things you can't put off?
Like can't put anything off.
No, yeah, right. Like doing your dog's teeth. I mean, yeah, that's super important. But you don't have to get your dog's teeth cleaned. We didn't do it. I mean, will it affect your dog's teeth down the road? More likely. Is it going to be healthier? Yeah. And I'm not talking about like your kid's teeth. You got to go to the dentist for your kid's teeth, because I mean, that could get super expensive. If it's your child, you're talking about child, it can experience pain and everything else. Your kids need to have their teeth checked. Your dog.
But to some people, okay. I think it depends on who our audience is right now.
Okay.
Because for some people, the pet literally is their child.
Yeah.
And if someone comes in, we are going to assume that that person is one of those people. Mm. And we're going to say, this needs to be done, and this needs to be done, and this needs to be done. So, I mean, everything is important to do on time.
Okay.
I mean, because if you don't, it's just like we said, if you don't want to pay $300 for your dog's teeth to be cleaned, it might work out fine.
Yeah.
It might, you know, your dog goes his whole life.
That's why I asked the question. Fair enough. Yeah.
Its teeth rot out and you never have a problem, but there will be some dogs that will have, like a large dog will get a small dog. But you'll have a tooth root abscess on the upper fourth premolar that creates a really bad infection. And then it affects the dog's vision.
Oh, wow.
Is that super common? No, but it could happen. Then you take a small dog. You've got one of the lower premolars. So it is the, it'd be 309, 409 is what we number those teeth. Mm-hmm. So for small dogs, like the ratio of dog, talking this specific tooth. I mean, the dog can be small. That tooth is huge. I mean, it is a giant tooth. And the roots go almost all, like if we're talking, so, you know, this is your mandible right here, right? All right, this is the bottom of my mandible.
Yeah.
So in dogs, the tooth root will go almost all the way to the bottom of the mandible. Oh. So if that tooth root is diseased, from not having your
is that rare? Teeth. Is that the only tooth where that root goes that far down?
It's the only tooth in the lower jaw that goes that.
And why is that? Because it gets just the most of the use, or it's the strong?
No, it's anatomy. It's okay. Anatomy. It's gotcha. just the way that God made dogs.
Gotcha.
So if that tooth root is very close to the bottom of the mandible, okay, mm-hmm. So that, you know, the top of the mandible's here, bottom of the mandible's there.
Yep.
So that tooth root, if it gets diseased from not having proper, you know, routine cleanings, then that infection causes lysis or breaking down of the lower part of the mandible, and the jaw could fracture. Wow. It's really not uncommon. You have a, you know, 10-year-old Yorkie or something, you know, we're talking like a 8-pound dog.
Yeah.
And we anesthetize them. We're going to clean their teeth. We do the dental x-rays, and you see that the jaw is like a millimeter away from fracturing.
Wow.
And if you go in to try to remove that diseased tooth, I mean, the jaw will fracture like that.
Hmm. That's not good. Yeah.
So,
yeah, go ahead.
You know, it may be that none of that stuff happens.
Yeah.
But it's possible.
You roll the dice. You roll the dice. Yeah. And for example, I mean, I roll the dice from not having health insurance for 2.5 years. And it's not something people are like, you don't have, and I didn't have the money, I mean, at this point. So did I do things a little differently? Yeah, I didn't go on that four-wheeler weekend with my friends. I'm like, you know what? I really don't. You want to go up the mountains and go backpacking and do a four-wheeler? And I'm like, you know what? I normally would. But quite frankly, if I get banged up, I'm in trouble because I don't have a health. So I'm like, so that's what you got to do. Now, I'm not saying that you got to lock your dog up. You don't take your dog for walks and stuff because you're afraid he's going to get banged up. I'm not saying that. But you do things just a little differently when you know you can't afford things. Is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, and the other thing, and so the dental thing was kind of, you know, it's on the upper echelon of spending, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So now let's go to maybe one of the cheapest things you can do, which is a rabies vaccine.
Okay.
So people think, all right, well, I got this notice. My dog or cat needs a rabies vaccine. I don't really have the 20, 30 bucks to get that done. So I'm going to put that off. All right. Well, it might be fine, but I mean, worst case scenario, your dog gets rabies.
Yeah.
But what's more likely to happen, and we've seen this a bunch. So a dog bites somebody, you know, a kid or kid's friend that comes over or whoever bites somebody jogging down the street. Well, then the dog's passed due on its rabies vaccine. So if the owner of the dog, if the person who got bit knows the law, they can make that dog be quarantined at a veterinary practice for 10 days, which is probably, you know, for rabies quarantine, probably going to cost you close to $400 for the 10-day confinement.
Yeah.
And also, they can make you euthanize the dog and submit the brain for rabies tests. Cause the only way to know if a dog has rabies or not is to test the brain tissue. So, you know, you put off something as simple as a rabies vaccine, it might be okay.
So legally speaking, if someone bites my child, and they don't have a rabies shot up to date with their animal, I could legally have their pet put down?
You can.
Wow.
Again, now the most prudent thing to do is to do the rabies observation.
Yeah. You wouldn't want to do that. I mean, you're a nice neighbor, yeah. right? But I mean, if you wanted to be a stickler about it, yeah.
I'm sure that there's a way that you could facilitate that.
And so the only way to test it is to have the animal euthanized. So what are you getting it by having it quarantined for 10 days, just keeping an eye to make sure it doesn't happen? What are you testing for there?
Correct. So, if they don't have symptoms of rabies vaccine or rabies within 10 days, even if they're unvaccinated, if they don't have symptoms within 10 days, then they don't have rabies and everyone can go about their business.
Okay. Why is it that we cannot test animals unless they're euthanized? And I know like for CTE, we can't do that with because it's something, it's in the brain tissue. You have to actually test the brain tissue in humans for CTE, which is really unfortunate because, you know, a lot of people have that in football. We talk about football here all the time, but why is that that we have to have an animal euthanized in order to be able to test that tissue?
It's the same principle because you have to have the actual brain tissue to test. And if you can't remove that amount of brain in order to test without the dog dying anyway.
Gotcha.
You know, you would think that a new test would be developed somehow, some way. And I don't know if it's just that, you know, everything comes down to money. And I'm sure that something else could probably be figured out, but, you know, maybe it costs too much and the, you know, whoever can make the test doesn't want to do it for cost reasons. They don't think they can recoup whatever it would cost to develop the test.
Okay. I want to ask the question because people are getting ahead of me here, but say the animal does have rabies and they've bitten your child. What does your child have to go through then?
No. A post-exposure and, you know, with their own doctor.
And that's expensive and very painful.
You know, that is something that is, I don't really know a whole lot about because I've never had to go through it. That would be more of a question for, you know, a human physician. But I do know that it's changed a lot from, you know, when you think about it, having to get all these shots in your abdomen and stuff like that. It's not that anymore. It's not quite as invasive. I mean, there's still a lot that you have to go through for that post-exposure.
Yeah. Yeah. I remember, an Aussie bit the head off the bat. You know, and that's why I always say that if you get bit by a wild animal, make sure you hold on to the wild animal because it can be tested for rabies. And then you can find out whether you need, because if you can't find the animal, then chances are you need to go through the post in order to make sure, because you don't know, because you don't want to get that garbage. You'll be foaming at the mouth at the dinner table. That's not good. He's Dr. Rob Stewart. Yeah, exactly. Rossberg's Vet, available all over social media, of course, on their website as well. 208-0301. If you want to board your pet, by the way, I know we have spring breaks coming up here, in March and April, make sure you do that and do that early because they're pretty much loaded up and it's a fantastic place. The Rossberg Animal Hospital is just wonderful work. They do a great job there. Info@TonyCurryRadio.net. Info@TonyCurryRadio.net. You ready for a first timer here? Ken in Rossbridge says he knows that Rab is a biblical man and wants to know if dogs are mentioned in the Bible.
Oh, man.
It's a good question. I can't recall.
I don't think they are. I don't think that dogs are specifically mentioned. I'm going to go. I don't believe they're specifically mentioned
outside
in the
ark, baby,
the
huh?
Dog.
Yeah.
I don't even think for the ark. I don't think dogs are specifically mentioned. I'm going to Google it.
Yeah, do that. Because I mean, specifically, I believe they're just animals of the air or animals of the ground or feathered animals.
I could see some translation maybe saying like Canidae. You know, that would include like a wolf, coyote. I don't think the word dog is going to be in most translations.
Yeah. That's really, really interesting. Janice in Fort Worth, Texas, heard us talking about snakes last week. She said, I was kind of wigged out. She lives near a creek and she knows she has a water moccasins, I guess, down in Texas. I'm sorry, but I know people love Texas and I know it's got a lot of money. You could not pay me enough to live. That whole state seems like it's always in trouble with something. It's either too hot, too cold. It's always flooded. Something's always wrong with that state of Texas. Anyway, she's talking about, she's got a boatload of snakes and she's like, are there any other animals that come out of hibernation around springtime that her little Yorkie should be wary of in her backyard?
Say that one more time. I was looking up the dog question.
Well, look, first things first, dogs in the Bible.
I'm looking and it doesn't really give me, I haven't found anything yet.
Okay.
Here's something.
All right.
Dogs are mentioned 9 times in the New Testament and 32 times in the Old Testament.
Really? Go on. Yeah. Go on. Give me some scripture, man. I have
Exodus 11:7, but not a dog shall growl against any of the people of Israel, either man or beast. Here's another one. Exodus 22:31. You shall be consecrated to me. Therefore, you shall not eat any flesh that is torn by beast in the field. You shall throw it to the dogs.
Okay.
So, all right, so this is all Old Testament. Let's see if we can get a New Testament.
Yeah, let's give some. Yeah, the New Testament's like, you know, is Peter out there feeding his? Right.
We have several. We have several mentioned in 1st and 2nd Kings.
Okay.
We got some Psalms. We got some Proverbs. Isaiah, I was way off.
Give me a psalm. You got a psalm there. I like to hear that.
All right, let's see. Let me scroll back up. Mm-hmm. All right, Psalm 68:23, that you may strike your feet in their blood, that the tongues of your dogs may have their portion from the foe.
You should probably have.
Oh, here's a good one. Here's a good one.
Yeah.
Proverbs 26:11, like a dog that returns to his vomit is a fool who repeats his folly.
Oh, dude. Hey, you should have that on your walls, man. That would be not a picture, but actually painted into your walls. That would be pretty cool. You know, you get a lot of veterinary shops, and sometimes there's some Bible scripture or something like that.
That's good.
Or it's a dog returning to his vomit. I don't know if you'd really want that on your walls, but that's pretty good. All right. Well,
now that I'm reading these, I don't know why I thought this. Here's one from Matthew. Everyone knows this. Matthew 15:27. She said, yes, Lord, yet even the dogs that eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table. So, that's the story of a lady who wants to be healed in Matthew 15:27.
Yeah.
You know, she's basically just begging for Jesus' scraps, and he kind of questions her on it.
I think I see a Bible study coming up in the next couple of weeks. I'd go to that Bible study if we talk about dogs. It'd be kind of cool.
Oh man, that's incredible. And there's a ton of mentions.
There, like, you go.
I guess when you're reading it, you just don't, you know, I don't really stop and think about how often we're seeing that.
You always learn something new here on Dark Side of the Pooch. I'm just telling you. So we had this young lady down in Fort Worth, Texas. She wants to know, she's got a little Yorkie. She had heard our show last week about snakes. She was kidding out about her snakes. She's got a bunch of water moccasins. I guess she's up against a creek in Fort Worth, Texas. She wants to know, is there any other animals or small or larger that come out of some type of hibernation in the springtime that she needs to worry about with her little Yorkie?
Well, I don't think Texas has bears, so we can rule bears off the list. Yeah. But armadillos hibernate.
Yeah.
Armadillos hibernate.
Nasty.
So,
nasty.
Yeah. Nasty.
And they're
awful.
They're awful. And they've got, is it salmonella?
Leprosy.
Leprosy. Yeah. Right.
Talking about the Bible, leprosy.
Seriously. I mean, I've always heard that if you ever see a dead, like I've been told, like, my next door neighbor, if you see a dead one and you touch it, man, you need to like go get a hazmat suit or something like that because they're that nasty. Right.
Dip your hand in bleach.
Yeah. But I guess alive, they're not so bad. But if you ever try to, I've been on a golf cart, you know, sometimes, and I'll see one and I'll try to kick it out of the way, 'cause they won't move. They own the highway, man. And they will hiss at you. They're like possums. They don't care.
You know what I think about? You know what? When I think about Texas, I think about snakes and armadillos.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I really do.
Yeah, that's true. All right. You had a couple of things that you were talking about. By the way, it's Dark Side of the Pooch, brought to you by Ed's Pet World. Wonderful work down there. 50 years in the business, exotic pets, you name it. Also, of course, the brand new Sasquatch toys and comics. You were talking out earlier. I always ask before we start the show, do you have anything interesting happening at the shop? Because you always do. And you're like, I got a couple of things we could talk about. What do you got?
Well, when you start talking about price, I thought this would fit really well, because this morning we had a dog come in. It went to the ER last night because he got hit by a car.
Oh.
So it's okay. It's all right. I mean, it's going to live. It doesn't have any life-threatening injuries. It does have one serious injury. So it looks like it took the brunt of the hit on the back left leg. It's got like a laceration over its knee. It's not bearing any weight on its back left leg. So we took some x-rays. There's no fracture, but the hip is dislocated. So the top of the femur is not sitting in the hip like it should. It's totally out.
Okay.
So there's a few things that you can do for that. So I spent a good bit of time this morning walking this client through the different options and how much each of them will cost.
Well, this is good.
So this is kind of a good, kind of lesson for pet owners that there's almost in every situation, different levels of care that you can have. And the outcome might be a little bit different. But so in this case, kind of the, if this were a person that had health insurance or, you know, maybe just money was no object, then they would pin the hip back into place. Okay. They would get it back in and they would use a surgical procedure to put some type of fixator there, like either a screw or a pin or something so that the femur goes back into place. Yeah. All right. So that's probably the most expensive procedure you can do. It's not a procedure that general people like me do. You have to see a specialist. And the price that we got on that today was between $3,000 and $4,500.
And does that depend on the overall health of the animal and I guess on its age as well?
If it does depend on the overall health, also probably depends on the size of the dog. Sometimes as the dog gets bigger, price goes up. Yeah. But if we felt like the dog wasn't a good surgical candidate, then we wouldn't do the procedure. We would figure something else out.
So that's a chunk of change. Okay. So I get $4,000. What else you got for me, doc?
So the step down is what's called an FHO, femoral head and neck osteopathy. So you cut the head of the femur off. So that you don't, okay. So, this is the femoral head. Mm-hmm. All right. And this is the hip, the ball and socket joint. Okay. Yep. So it sits like that. But if it's dislocated, this sounds really like kind of counterintuitive, but you can remove the head of the femur. So you cut the head of the femur off so that it no longer needs to sit in that joint.
Yeah.
Like that. It relieves the pain. Because the pain is that femoral head is hitting something that it shouldn't hit. So if you cut the head off, then there's no pain and the dog will eventually, the muscles there will hold everything into place. And the dog will eventually,
walk again. That's crazy.
So that's FHO. If the hip is dislocated enough, then that procedure may not be on the table. So you kind of have to keep in mind that everything we're talking about, the surgeon weighs in and says, I don't know if this is going to be the right way to go about fixing this. So FHO, it may not be for every instance, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So the price on that's going to be $1,500 to $2,000.
Okay.
Depending. And then this sounds like the most radical thing, and I guess it is, but the last thing is you amputate the leg. And dogs do awesome with three legs, especially if it's a back leg. They, most of their weight is, carried in on their front two legs. They, it's not a 50-50 split. It's not like they carry 50% of their weight on their two back legs and 50 on their two front legs. They carry more of their weight on the front than the back. So they do really, really well with just three legs. Depending the cost on that's going to be between, probably $900 to $1,000.
Amputation would be less than the FHO thing. That's interesting. Something's obviously got to be done. I mean, you can't just.
Yeah. You have to do one of those three.
Yeah.
Unless you're just going to be like, oh, my dog's just going to live in pain for the rest of his life. I mean, I guess you could euthanize it, but
That is really interesting. I never knew. And I'm assuming that obviously we couldn't do this with a human being, but to cut the top of the femur off. You're actually cutting the ball, not the ball socket itself, but the ball off, I guess, the top of the
ball off. Yeah, because you have the socket is from the hip.
Yeah.
The socket is the hip. Mm-hmm. The ball is from the leg.
That's pretty wild. All right, great stuff, man. Hey, tell people how they can find you, brother.
They can call us at 208-0301. You can email us, rossbridgeanimalhospital@gmail.com, or you can find us on Facebook.
You're the man. I appreciate you. We'll catch up next week.
Thanks, buddy.
This has been a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.